if I do want to get started for the sake of time and everyone's got a busy schedule, I thought maybe we'll just take a quick minute. I'll go over the agenda and just share some kind of personal reflections on some of this work. So the agenda, Ryan's going to be here in a few minutes. I want to introduce himself. Then want to have additional SME discussion. Ryan's got a few ideas he wants to put on the table. And when he gets here, don't let me forget, Jeff, to do introductions when he shows up. I see myself as one who's facilitating this work and not doing this work in a sense. You're the experts. You're the people who live this every day, not only as it relates to the existing facility, but what we build going further. And I think Ryan and others who come to the table have the familiarity of knowing what to do to take your needs and your ideas and meld them into a facility that works for all of you. So that's really the kind of play. So the more people at the table to have these kind of conversations, the better. So I think that's really important to me to make sure that we work in that fashion. And then Director Schmidt, I imagine Ben is going to probably handle it. But what I said to him a few minutes ago before we started the meeting, I think what we decide to discuss today doesn't need to be put on hold. It needs to move forward sooner rather than later, and I understand some of this is in the works already. But if we need to expedite other parts of this work, I don't want to wait till January and our end of our report to say these are the recommendations of what needs to be done now in the context of that. And I hope you appreciate us getting some clarification as to what those priorities are so we can address them sooner rather than later. Because they're not necessarily related to the longer term of what we are trying to do. And then I want to take a few minutes to have a conversation about the meeting schedule. I didn't, because he is my co-chair in this process, I did want to not have any conversations with him. I think having a co-chair for me is important because, as I said, I am new to all of this kind of things. I want to have somebody, a voting member of my committee, of this working group, rather, to be someone who's steeped in this kind of work. And I felt willing for me to give up the compromise or the encumbrance, if you will, of having a co-chair doing this kind of work. Carla's here. She's going to take a few minutes to talk about that. Obviously, everyone in this room is very familiar with the sunshine laws, et cetera. Ryan is not so, but I want him to be here to hear her a few words about the work we have to do in terms of staying within sunshine. Interesting to that point, and this may be relevant to everybody in this room, yesterday I met with the dean of the new law school, and they were asking what they can do in some of these projects. And we talked about a capstone project, and the capstone project we talked about was the impact or the unintended consequences as you look at this new way, in some respects, new way of governing, all not totally new, but the idea of putting together volunteer committees. We did with resiliency, we did last year with CQLI, and we're doing with this one. How can we see some modification to the sunshine laws that allows this kind of interaction to happen among volunteers who are giving of their time and expertise to provide recommendations to us to do the work that we do? So it's a long-form thing, but I think they want to spend some time in the work that we're doing to take a look at the prospect of how this kind of process, this kind of work, can be, is an encumbrance as it relates to sunshine, and appropriately so in some respects. But when we're talking about a group that's coming together to make recommendations, which ultimately the council will vote on or whomever, I don't think that is really the intent of the sunshine, is to keep or discourage this kind of work. So we'll see where that comes. And I think that's something the faculty and some of the staff members over there are interested in participating in. Ms. Boyer's here, so I want to go ahead. Let's do our introductions. Lori, I'm going to invite you up to talk a little bit about the parking situation. Mr. Garten, if you want to mention, sort of preface that conversation. And then Lori and I had a conversation the other day, Ms. Boyer, about maybe some short-term solutions that we can work through together. So let's start with introductions all the way to my immediate left. That would be you, Ron. Yeah. Thank you. Make sure the green light's on.
Ron Salem, City Council.
Roy Burble, Public Works, Public Buildings.
Larry Schmidt, Director of Services for JSO.
Michael Boylan, District 6, and Chair of the Working Group.
Dolores O'Neill.
Dolores O'Neill, JSO Chief of Services.
Scott Dingy, Assistant Chief of General Support with JSO.
Ben Carter, Facility Manager, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office.
All right, Ben, talk a little bit, if you would, to start the conversation with respect to parking. And this facility, but obviously tangential, is for the jail as well.
Currently, there's 215 parking spaces available in the parking garage directly under the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office Police Memorial Building. There are other parking that's available for the pretrial facility. It's 250 spaces in a lot directly east of the building. And then we've utilized what's been categorized as overflow parking along the river. But overflow parking kind of leads to the idea that every once in a while you might use it when you have a large event, but it's used daily because we don't have enough spaces for all of our daily activities.
In a given moment of time during the day, how many people are inhabiting the police memorial building?
About 700 in the building, plus whatever resides in the pretrial, which I do not know that number,
sure.
Plus any guests and or officers that come in and out of the building for activities and work.
Obviously a significant shortfall in available spaces for parking. And Ms. Boyer, you want to come on up to the podium, introduce yourself? We had a brief conversation the other day with Guy Perola and Ms. Boyer about some options that we can take a look at as a, how they can support this work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lori Boyer, CEO of the Downtown Investment Authority, and the city's Office of Public Parking is assigned under the DIA. We also, as the redevelopment agency, are responsible for those vacant parcels that you're using as overflow parking. So just to kind of set the stage, the vacant parcels have at various times been owned by third parties for redevelopment, then came back to the city. They are currently slated for development as the Shipyards West Park. And that park will not start construction. I would say the very earliest you would see construction on the majority of the park would be June, but most likely it will be past next October before there is any kind of material impact to the parking. I would think that it may have to be relocated on the property. The intention is that construction will start from the Catherine Street side, and Catherine Street is where you already see the road under construction. So parking may have to move a little bit to the east while that happens. But so very short term, next 6 months, continue to park in the overflow parking. I did a very quick non-scientific survey this morning by looking at GIS aerials going back to 2019 and counting the number of cars in every 2019, 2020, 2021 that I see. The maximum number I saw at any one time parked in it was 45. Let's say the number is 75 that we need. What I had shared with Councilman Boylan is that we do have extra parking in the Yates Garage, which is two blocks from the Police Memorial Building, that could be available and could be provided on any the same basis we provide for other city employees. That doesn't mean it's free, like the overflow lot where we haven't been charged. But we would have time to adjust that in a budget process between now and then. We also have available daytime parking in the arena and sports complex garage down by the stadium. So that is not probably your first choice, but since you do run, as we discussed, since you do run shuttles for other things, if there was a need for significantly more parking, there's parking there. And it's about four blocks away from, it's actually three blocks away from the jail, you know, just on the other side of the arena. So, and we are envisioning that those garages, which are currently closed during the daytime and only open for events, we are installing gates in those so that we will be able to have daytime parking. So we could work it out that there could be a capacity for daytime parking in those if that became an immediate need. But bottom line, I think we have until at least next October before the Shipyards West parcel would be totally unavailable. And in the meantime, we've got some other interim solutions that we can work on.
Well, I think it's great news in the sense we can plan for it now and take a look at it and say, okay, what is the solution? At least you can, you know, direct your staff to say, this is what we're going to do. We've assigned parking It's all right. We will, even to the extent, obviously you don't want to use the Sallyport shuttles to back and forth for the police officers or staff, but certainly to budget for our shuttle service or whatever and do some planning as it relates to all of that. So let's keep that in top of mind. And I do appreciate Lori taking the time to come over to share that with us. So thank you for doing that. Any questions for Lori about this idea? Council President Salem.
Is the area across the street presently, which sounds like will be available through next October, sufficient? Is that meeting the needs presently for sheriff's office, jail, visitors, et cetera?
Yes, sir. There is plenty of space in there for what we need currently. Yes, sir.
Okay. So this becomes October problem.
Absolutely.
Which, as you just stated, we could deal with in the budget potentially.
Right. And that's why I was purposeful to bring it up now, so we are aware of the situation and address it. We need to be bringing answers to the problems we're facing today, and that's.
Ask one other question.
Sure.
Is it easy to identify people that could park off-site without being very disruptive? Whether that be, I'm sure you could divide the people that park there presently into different groups. Can you be thinking about groups where a shuttle might not be too disruptive because they park and they're there all day and then they go home, for
yes,
example?
Sir. The one, and it would be on us, obviously, to figure that out. But the biggest factor we would have to take into consideration is shift work, right? So we have people that work overnight, civilians, police, and I'm not even talking patrol. I'm talking people that work in the administrative building. So, yeah, that is a factor that we would have to seriously work on, is making sure we would have enough coverage and prioritizing people that need to be there at certain times versus others that would be more flexible that could take the shuttle. So that is something we could do. It would take some time for us to look at all the different areas.
I would just encourage you to start having those discussions.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, Ms. Boyer?
And Mr. Chairman and to Mr. President, the current Shipyards West parking that is being used is actually almost two blocks from the doors to the Police Memorial Building right now, because it's across the street and east. It's pretty much across the street from the current parking lot, but you're kind of moved down. So the difference is the Yates Garage, which does have CCTV cameras, et cetera, you would have to walk on. At Liberty Street? No. Forsyth. You'd have to walk a block and a half on Forsyth. But the block and a half is probably not much longer than the distance to where some of the cars are parking right now, if I look at it from an aerial.
Sounds like a better option.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, and that's why I brought it up now and had the conversation. Thank you, Ms. Mm-hmm. Boyer. And you're welcome to hang or whatever you want to do.
You're finished.
Okay, thank you. All right, Brian, thank you for being here. And I know how it feels when you walk into a room at a meeting, you're supposed to be co-chairing. So I empathize with your awkwardness of the moment, but we're good. Ms. Boyer and I, we started the conversation with respect to parking. It's an issue that we think we can, and our focus today, as you know, is on the short-term solutions of some immediate problems we have going on over there. And parking, we just learned, likely and almost assuredly will be a challenge for us in the coming months, beginning probably in October of next year, whereby we're going to see development on the bank, so we need to find an alternative for parking solution for both facilities. So with that, I'm going to take a moment to introduce Ryan. And there's an agenda there if you want to take a look at it. I thought I'd give you a couple of minutes to sort of talk about, introduce yourself and your involvement. As I shared with the group already, it's really important for me to have someone like yourself and willing to make the compromise in the encumbrance of the process to have a co-chair, because obviously you're much more steeped in this work than I am. Yeah. And so I really appreciate your willingness to work with me in this working group. So with that, I'll turn the mic over to you.
Sure. So I'm Ryan Sitnick. I'm a resident of Jacksonville. I work for a company called Gilbane Building Company. We provide various kind of facility solutions across the board, whether it's on the development side or the actual building construction of facilities. We've been one of the largest public safety and correctional builders in the country for a number of years, and we have a center of excellence revolving around that type of work. And, you know, kind of what I bring to this committee is access to that center of excellence. I've already been talking to the guy who runs that committee, and he's identifying some folks who've sat in the chairs you've sat in to bring some insights as to, you know, some decisions they've had to make and some solutions they've come up with. So, and that's coast to coast. So, you know, when we get into meetings 3 and 4, we'll be bringing some experts in, I think, to really, you know, support the process and help everybody in this room make some smart decisions.
And we need to point out it's neither an advantage or disadvantage having you as a co-chair as we get down the road to do this kind of work. He understands and appreciates that in this process. We've got HGR and others who are going to be more than willing, have already demonstrated an active interest in participating in this process and bring some best practices to the table in future meetings. Ms. LaPera, I wanted to take a quick minute for the Office of General Counsel. We're going to take just a minute or two while I invite you to the podium and just talk a little bit about the implications of having two voting members of this committee and how we structure this in such a fashion that the rest are identified as subject matter experts who can contribute and can do so on a one-on-one basis. I'll let you walk us through it.
Sure. Good morning. Carla LaPera with Office of General Counsel. Like Councilmember Boylan stated, this working group is set up, he has chosen to set up with himself as chair and co-chair, Mr. Sitnick. So in regards to Sunshine Law, which you all probably have some familiarity with, maybe a lot, also known as the Open Meetings Law, meant to provide transparency in government and also provide the public with a meaningful opportunity to participate. So how that applies to this working group, most of you are subject matter experts, just the chair and co-chair would be required to comply with Sunshine Law. So what that means for you all, if you wish to talk with each other about any topic that would come before this group, you need to make that open to the public, provide reasonable notice, and minutes must be taken and promptly recorded. So for the rest of you, Sunshine Law will not apply. I would, however, caution you that public records law would still apply. So if you email each other about topics related to this working group, send text messages, anything like that, please retain those in case a public records request is made. But otherwise, you all are free to talk to each other.
Just one question with respect to procedural interaction. You know, for example, a conversation about when's the next time for us to meet? What's a good time for you to meet with us next time? Can we have those kind of conversations?
Yes. So procedural items, you can talk to each other, meeting, ask what time is the meeting at? I'm running late. Are you going to the meeting? Those types of things. You can discuss those. That's no requirement pursuant to Sunshine Law.
And we're going to have a conversation in a minute in the sunshine when the last email Ryan sent me suggested some ideas as other members of this, as subject matter experts of this working group. I didn't respond to it, obviously, because it was a one-way communication. So I'm bringing it in as an example. I'm bringing it into the meeting as part of our conversation so everyone can hear it, and it's in the sunshine.
Yes, and that's the correct way to handle that.
Thank
one-way
you.
Communications like that.
Excellent. Just I know that the existing working group for Randy White is the Councilman White doesn't have a co-chair. I think, do you know offhand if the others do? I know that the Intake and Adjudication Committee working group does have a co-chair with Judge Coker.
Yes.
I'm not sure. It is Chris Miller. I don't know if it's his group, the Custody and Housing. I don't recall.
I don't believe he has a co-chair.
Okay. And I don't know if Councilman Johnson's meeting is this afternoon is at 1 o'clock, and we'll discuss it then.
Okay.
All right. Any questions of Carla? All right. So let's get back then very quickly to a conversation of additional SMEs. Director Schmidt had recognized Assistant Chief Dingy as adding to this group, so we recognize you as a member, as a subject matter expert. And then, Ryan, you had a couple of suggestions that you'd mentioned yesterday in an email to me.
Sure.
Should I keep this on all the time? If any of them are here, please take a moment to recognize them if you
sure. can. So Tracy Dawson's here with HDR, and she's got a principal, design principal with HDR, who's here locally. Also, Ty Bliss is with Gilbane. Ty actually was the design build manager for the Gainesville Police Headquarters, and he's with us. Is OCI here? Okay. We have OCI, full-service MEP engineering company who also specializes in this type of work. So just subject matter experts to provide input where appropriate.
And I don't know, and I asked Mr. Gardner Roy about this question. He also suggested the prospect, and I know we're doing this for the other facility, folks from WWGA or Miller or others, do you have any vendors that you might want to have, particularly as it relates to this conversation, attend any of these meetings?
I believe like Miller Electric would be important. They just did the generator project for that building, so they're fully aware of the situations there. To Roy, I believe JCI does a lot of our controls for our chiller and AC, so those two would be very important to okay. the situation.
It particularly as it relates going forward for the new facility, but also I don't know that obviously today's conversation, it's going to be kind of too late to bring them into the mix at this point, but they're certainly welcome to join us at any point in time.
Yeah, I think they would be important moving forward, trying to identify some of these items and what the best path forward for repairs or replacements of those pieces Great. Of equipment and upgrades too.
All right, so let's maybe have them come to the next meeting and be prepared to talk about some of those concerns as it relates to this facility. Make sure, Sonia, that we have that on the agenda next time, an update on the existing facility needs. All right. So I think with that, and thank you, by the way, I want HDR and others, and OCI?
Yes.
For being here today and your willingness to participate in these conversations. It's critical. I'm a neophyte to this entire process. My job is to bring the people together and get the work done, and I'm thankful for your help in doing that. So, Director Schmidt, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, and then you walk us through. Today's focus is really going to be on the existing facility conditions and what we need to do to address them. So with that, the floor is yours.
Very good. Thank you. And as you said, as we got together for this meeting, preparing for this meeting, our focus was, in fact, on the current state of the building and what things we see as needing, immediate fixes. No matter what happens long term with potential replacement of the building, these are things that need to be addressed long before that. So just a brief overview, and I know some of this has been mentioned before, but about the Police Memorial Building. It's located at 501 East Bay Street. It was opened in 1978. Since 2014, the average annual maintenance cost for the PMB has been around $359,000 annually. And again, I'm no expert as to whether that's high or low. That's just what we found is $359,000 a year spent on maintenance for that building. And encompasses a total of 165,000 square feet of air-conditioned space, a total of 214 parking spaces underneath the building, and it contains the administrative office space for over 730 employees. We're not all there at the same time. Some of us work mainly Monday through Friday. Some is shift work, so they're there overnight and on weekends. But it includes the Sheriff's Administration, Department of Personnel and Professional Standards, Patrol and Enforcement, Department of Services, and the Investigations Division. For the specifics related to the potential fixes or items that we think need attention, I'll turn it over to Ben Carter. He's our facilities manager at the PMB.
And before you do, if we can get a copy of that,
yes.
So I can get Sonia to make copies. Sonia, can you make some copies of this? Because that's a great overview, even as we go forward, to say what is the composition of the existing facility. Yeah. So we'll get some copies made of this and bring it back around. Go ahead, Mr. Gardner.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
The $359, that is dollars used in repairs. That is not just general cleaning the building and that kind of stuff. This is truly repairs that have been made.
Right. And you might have.
Those are maintenance costs, not cleaning, those type of things, not electrical, not light bills. Those kind of things. It's just, and that's what we got from public buildings, from their records of what was spent annually and averaged out across several years.
Has that been an increasing number or just a fairly static number?
It's been fairly level.
Okay.
Okay. And And I assume these are generally CIP type stuff?
No.
Combination of CIP, stuff you can plan ahead for, others just occur and you've got to step in.
Okay. All right. Do you supply buildings with a needs list on an annual basis?
An annual basis, we don't provide them a list. An annual basis, we have monthly meetings,
okay.
discussing what the current needs are.
Gotcha.
For small repairs, larger items as needed, we have meetings.
Right. Then at that point, then that's when you make the assessment. What's an appropriate number based upon projections of past experience, or based upon past experience? I assume.
Okay. All right. So. We have a handout here. It has basically an outline of what we see as the major operational needs over the five-year outlook to keep that building up and running and get it effective and efficient for the members who are housed there. I won't go into detail of every category, but kind of an outline of each category. If you have questions as we go along, let me know. The first one is the emergency generator. It was replaced this last year. The other one was below floodplain and was built in 1974, so it was time for a new generator to be installed. New transfer switch and equipment main power panel was replaced for the emergency distribution system. But there are all these other items that are not tied into the emergency system right now. So if we do lose JEA power, these items here go offline. Some of it is very critical to our operations, such as our security systems through ProWatch. A lot of our data closets have small UPSs in them, but not larger. So there are other operational needs. If we have to operate that building for a long period of time and use it as a local ESC just for JSO, you know, we don't have any way to have even air conditioning in the building. The only place that's air conditioned when the generator is running is the comm center. So it becomes a very large item there for
us. So the subsets of those there, can you prioritize three of those?
We certainly can.
All right. Yeah. Again, if we're looking at what do we need to address ASAP, I would say arbitrarily I say three, but the first four, there are five, and then just tell us that. No, these need to be addressed now.
Yeah, yeah. And these are somewhat in a priority okay. list already, but we can make sure they're nailed down
right.
tighter. The HVA system, there are three air handler units that are already slated to be replaced. That is the last three of the total nine in the building. And that funding is coming from a CIP recurring for the building that's already been approved from City Council of $275,000 a year. And so that's going to take FY23 and 24 funds to the end of their ability to replace those last three. FY25, there'll be additional funding through that to do some of these things. The system itself needs to be test and balanced because, one, the air handlers now are run off of variable frequency drives, whereas the other ones that were installed before were straight direct drive motors. So we needed to determine how the air flows around the building like it should. And because of the operational needs of JSO, many, many walls have been built and or taken down over the last 40 years. So some of the controls are in the wrong room. So thermostat in one room operates a vent in another room. So you can see the problem when you get, I'm cold, I'm hot. And we get those calls every day.
You have space heater in one room.
Absolutely. And blankets in the other.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. There was already on the major upgrades list to replace all the VAV boxes. And controls. I think that's important because then we can have a real-time control of what's happening to the air throughout the building and kind of take some of that control away from individual spaces. Then we connect that system to the medicine that's already there so we can see what's happening live in the building and control it.
How old is the BMS?
That's going to refer that to Roy. Medicis has been there for 5 or 6 years. So any other questions on that category? Moving on to building envelope. The landing pad itself for the helicopter has been identified as approximate cost. This is in a hard number of $400,000 by Public Buildings. There are, as a packet you'll have with all the photographs of the building, and that's very enlightening to see the condition of that helicopter pad. And then the lighting on there is, again...
I'm sorry, that's not in current budget, or the upcoming budget year, is it?
That is not included. That's just an estimated cost we've been given.
Okay. So the only thing right now that's scheduled for funding are the three handlers.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, with one exception, the skylights.
Skylights. So
we've already done a major skylight renovation, although we've got some repair work that needs to be done on that. But
okay.
But there are additional skylights that are already scheduled to be replaced as well. So we do have funding for that.
So then the lighting on that landing pad is also circa 1974 with incandescent lamps. And a lot of the fixtures are inundated with water. So that when that gets revamped, the lighting needs to be redone as well.
Sure.
For safety of our pilots.
On a given, how often is that pad utilized, if it were operating functionally?
It can be used weekly. Yep. There are, if not more, yeah.
And that's to transport prisoners, or I'm trying to understand.
It's the Sheriff's Administration.
Okay.
Yep. Most of the time it gets used. That helicopter also is used for, you know, other operational needs for, you know, surveillance and things like that. But that pad is used to transport administration.
Yeah.
And on that specifically.
Yeah, as far as the operation, I'd have to have the helicopter unit give more specifics. But in general, that is another location, just like the location they take off from Craig Field. That is another operational location. So if they're doing operations on the west side, they don't have to go all the way back to Craig Field. They can land there and do whatever they need to do administratively there. But the use of that pad, my office, I can actually hear the helicopter come in. It would not be unusual to hear it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen every day, but that would not be unusual.
Sure.
So multiple times a week, just during normal daytime hours. I'm not sure how much they use it at night as well, but I'm sure they do.
I'm just understanding the frequency of use that's in
yeah.
and the role that it plays and why we have it. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yes. Referring back to the skylights, the ones down the main hallway were replaced. We had a few issues with those new ones. They've come back and made some repairs. We'll see how after the next rain whether or not they were finished sealed. There are ones that are around the east mezzanine. Those are actually around where the landing pad is. And we have some leaks there that has not been identified as a cost yet. It's just a need. For safety and security, as you know, with the way the world is after 9/11, you wouldn't build a police memorial building without protection for the security guards at the front counters. And right now we have zero. So we need to add some ballistic protection around the main desk, which is at Forsyth Street. And it becomes the main desk because of parking and things like that. There's zero parking almost along Bay Street where the actual main entrance is,
right.
And that's something we identified for future discussions. So, but the Bay Street entrance has one guard at it, and there is no counter, even a counter there. There's a desk. So that needs to get reworked so we can provide an actual true entrance with protection for our guards and the building.
Let me ask Ryan a question as it relates to that. Is that a factor that you're seeing more and more of as you take a look at building new facilities, the security at the front entrance or
public
entrance?
I think it's standard operating procedure within the design. Yeah. And it's not just the entrance, it's the walls that protect everyone behind, you know, the secured space.
Yeah. I did have that conversation with somebody about the prospect of that and even in the future to say, you know, someone could park a car outside of it, you know, and so the security of the facility is something that we really need to take a look at. So what we're talking about here really is a kind of a Band-Aid to get us to create a greater security and safety, you know, coming in through the front door, essentially.
Yeah, both of our front entrances, yes.
Yeah.
I'll add a little to that. Unfortunately, there have been multiple agencies throughout the United States, police departments, where there have been attacks from the front door entrance.
Right.
Fortunately, many of them have had security measures in place that help them minimize the effect of that. Ours really don't have any of those features.
And I it was obvious to me that was the case, but I think it's important to say, why is this a priority? Because the sad reality of what we're experiencing across the country means we need to address it now. It's probably not something you thought about 35 right. years ago that yeah. we do as we do today, certainly.
And there have been other things added to the PMB after 9/11.
Right.
There were no gates. There was no fence. The entire roof was completely open. So some of those upgrades have been made, but this is one of them that has not been completed. Yeah.
I mean, a big trend that's been going on for a while is access control, not just the physical barriers that prevent ballistics, but the access control to allow certain folks to get in. There is access control in the building, but not necessarily right there at the front. And I think that would be something to incorporate into that security portion of work, not just ballistic glazing and block. But
let's take it, let's have a deeper conversation on that for the next building as well, obviously. Part of it, but as it relates to now.
And speaking to the director, that building was a city park on top when it was originally built, so there was a lot of less discussion about public entrance and safety. It was, you know.
Different time.
It was a different time. So we've already had a discussion about parking spaces
yes.
and, you know, what we have available. The only thing I would add to this is, yeah, there are 700 people who work there. And there are, you know, not always there, but that shift work causes the double use of a parking space because as this person's walking out, the other car hasn't moved yet. So these numbers may not really lead to the actual number of spaces utilized any given one day.
As I understand, the detention center, the shifts is 7 to 7. Is that a 12-hour shift over there?
Roughly. Some work 8 to 4:30.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that in the context of the arena building. Obviously, with events, they traditionally open at 5 o'clock. So that would be the kind of place would be available overnight and into the mid-afternoon kind of feel to it. And I'm not sure that jives. And it's a little too far away. I get that. But anyway, I just wanted to toss that out there.
Go to the back page, obviously, parking lot. You know, the current parking lot we have right now, the garage and Forsyth Street and the East Lot all mostly need to be resurfaced and restriped. The East Lot is in pretty good condition asphalt-wise, but the other two really need to be resurfaced and restriped to allow for, you know, use of it accurately. Because right now we have no way of telling where a space is. It's completely blank.
ADA spaces, do we have a sufficient number? And if they're not identified, I guess they're not identified, right?
Yeah, we have some, but we haven't done an assessment of the need of that yet.
Sure. I think that's probably
indoor requirements by ADA requirements for the city of Jacksonville. There's a number required, and of course at this point we've probably been grandfathered in down through the road. But we need to at least be acknowledge the need.
And if we're going to be using this facility for the foreseeable future, we probably need to make that point as part of of this to say what is a sufficient number, not a great number, but a sufficient number to meet requirements and how that impacts our parking situation as well.
Certainly. City of Jacksonville's got a good ADA department that we can lean on to get some ideas of that.
Yeah, that would be helpful to know.
Yes. This leads us to the flooring. You know, the second floor tiles, every day they're breaking.
Mm-hmm.
There are several that are, you know, very loose, and they pop up and they become a safety hazard. We do what we can to try to mitigate that as best we can. And so that's one of the priorities we have. As well as the carpet, some of these pictures you'll see through this packet will lead to, you know, a better feel for what that is. A lot of it's over 10 years old, and there are areas that just there's no way to clean it. It's just beyond its life. The restrooms were remodeled about 12 years ago.
13?
Yep, about 12 years ago or so, maybe 10. They need some work as well. Some refreshing, if you will. The flooring that was put in there was an epoxy floor, and the idea there was to make it durable.
Right.
Well, it's durable, but it's also very hard to clean.
That's going
to
say. It
clean and well. It looks very institutional. So we'd like to do something with replacing that flooring with something a little more appropriate for a police memorial building versus, you know, a gymnasium. And so that's one of the issues we have there. The elevators, they've identified a cost of $120,000 to modernize the elevators. That hasn't been budgeted. That's a projected cost.
What does
it
mean to modernize them?
New controls. Right now, you can't tell what floor you're on. None of the lights light up. those kind of things.
Got it.
TKE has been doing several of the buildings, downtown Ed Ball, and things like that with new upgrades to the systems. They're tied back into the fire alarm system so that they come back to the main floor and open up like they're supposed to. I don't believe ours do that right now. They're not tied in that fashion. So safety sure. is an important structure of that. The roof has about 8 to 10 years left on it, our best guess. And the estimate for that replacement is about $1 million. So that's something that needs to be looked at for the future going forward. The last piece we have is landscaping. It has been more than ignored for a long time. There's flower beds out front that just have weeds growing in them. There were several trees that were leaning against the side of the building. We asked to get trimmed away from the building, and the arborist decided the trees were too old, and they cut them down, and now we have stumps.
Mm-hmm.
And so it needs some address on that. You know, even the grate where they pulled a tree out to replace a tree, the tree they replaced it with is dead now, and the grating is still laying on the sidewalk and not replaced back around the tree or removed from the site.
Council President Salem, I'm glad you are here to hear some of this.
Well, can I ask you a couple
Please.
Questions, make a couple comments? I'm going to ignore the roof because you said 8 to 10 years. God help us if we're hopefully not dealing with this building in 8 to 10 years.
Nonetheless, it still needs some maintenance because we are seeing some leaking.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Just a few questions. Number one, I assume these repairs, et cetera, have not been placed in the sheriff's budget.
No, sir.
Okay. Do we know why?
Well, they wouldn't be in the sheriff's budget because it's a city building.
Okay, so it is a responsibility for it to be put in the city's budget. Where would it be in the city budget if it was placed in there? Public works?
Public buildings.
Public buildings. So
yes.
It's not been placed in the public buildings budget. Have you or your area provided this type of information to public buildings in the past and they just were not put in the budget?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Several years. In fact, some of these items down the next document, you'll see like a PMB major upgrades on the next document. Those things have been identified back as early as 2017 and brought up through several meetings that we have, our monthly meetings. Hey, this is what we're working on. And this list is shorter. Just to be fair and honest with public buildings, there are items on this list that have been completed.
Okay.
You know, that we pulled off this list. This is what's left.
Okay. So there have been things gradually done. These things have not been done and need to be completed is what I hear you saying.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number two, and I know Councilmember Boylan knows this, the sheriff has a lot of discretion in his budget due to changes at the state level in regard to he can move money within his budget without coming back to the council. I believe his intent is to come back to the council, but he has broad discretion on taking, as I understand it, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, if he's got vacant positions in corrections, for example, he can move that money over here for something else fairly easily. Is that correct?
Operations to operations.
Yes.
You can't take it and put it into capital.
Okay.
Right. CIP items cannot be taken out of the operations funds.
No.
And the changes to the state law are obviously fairly recent, so this would probably be the first full year that option was even available.
I understand. So explain to me his options within his budget. People money has to be moved within people.
Yeah, if it's a CIP item, those are off the table. Those cannot be used.
Right.
So several of these items we may be able to, if there were funds available, address some of these. But historically, all the repairs, the major repairs, we do day-to-day. I mean, Ben and his crew do a lot of work in that building day-to-day. But any of the major repairs, we're talking like the air handler, which probably be a CIP item, the elevator-type repairs, those bigger items historically have all been budgeted through the city through public buildings.
And that's really why I'm glad you're here, because I think, and Roy, I know you're challenged many times. But now you've got us at the table saying these are priorities that need to be addressed to get you the funds necessary to address these critical issues. And so we are going to see not only in the context, and I'm sure the number is going to be much larger on the other side for the other facility, but we are going to see some expectations of some rearranging of CIP dollars or additional CIP dollars incorporated in here to address the immediate needs of both this facility and the jail.
Well, and clearly, I like your idea of 5 years,
right,
because hopefully we are doing something within that period of time. But if you wait 4 years...
Exactly right. These repairs need to be impactful. They need to be done sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
Thank
if
you.
You're going to do them, they need to be done quickly.
We've waited 3 years. There's no point in doing it.
Yeah, and obviously, I think some of these would be a much higher priority than others.
Right.
And safety, et cetera, were the things that I would look at. But I would ask Director Schmidt to go back and I wish Bill Clement was here, because I'd like to see you go back and say, are there ways that you can come up with some funds and then we can look at some funds?
Well, we'll be hard-pressed to do that. Only it's manpower and programs is what his money that's his fungible money. Anything that, with respect to any improvements to the facility itself, it's a city-owned building. It's the city's responsibility to make the improvements. Can he? I don't know. And Director Smith, you could speak to, I think you already have, the possibility of taking JSO budget funds per se to do some of these improvements is not very likely.
Correct. I think it would be a challenge, even under the new state law, to take to do many of these. There might be a few, but a majority of them would not fall under even that new statute's authority.
Okay. Well, I would ask you to see what you can do.
Of course.
And then I would ask somebody, you know, to put together
numbers.
Numbers.
Right. We're working on that.
That we can then sure. See what we can do working with the budget office and that kind of thing.
Right.
Because if you don't do it in the next 12 months or –
And this is why this is the first item in terms of the agenda of this working group, to take a look at this and to give you the encouragement or blessing, whatever you want to characterize, and say, let's put some hard numbers to these things and prioritize and put hard numbers to it and come back to us at the next meeting or some subsequent time so we can turn around and begin the process of seeing how do we adjust the CIP to address them.
And if I can just very quickly to kind of address what you're saying there, Councilman. We actually already do that somewhat. An example, we had to put in a new air conditioning unit out at our range out off Laney Road. We were actually, JSO and the city are actually splitting those costs, which are not small. So there are times when we do that to facilitate getting things done quicker. That, you know, it's July, they need air conditioning on the range. We can't wait for a larger amount of money, so we have to come to an arrangement where we give some money and the city gives some money. So we do that currently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to go through the picture list, or do you want to – how about the matrix or spectral? Go ahead.
Could I ask, please, a couple quick questions? So on the security side, is the CCT surveillance, is that all you feel comfortable with the systems you have in place, or is that also a need?
For access control, we're pretty good with the access control. CCTV, we have a large array of cameras throughout the building. There's probably some more that need to be added in certain areas.
Yep.
But we've been upgrading and replacing those as along the way with our funds.
And then a lot of this appears to be what I would call like deferred maintenance type work. Are there programmatic needs that you need for space? Like is there a function you're not performing because you don't have the space to do it?
So obviously all of our functions that we have are immediate. We can't not do certain jobs.
Right.
So what we end up doing is moving people around, like Ben was saying earlier about knocking down walls. And we are continuously moving people in the building itself and rearranging the building, in which we take on those costs ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And the work behind it for the most part. Or we transfer people to offsite locations, the state attorney's office, the courthouse, to create more space at the PMB for critical functions there. So It's a chess. We're always right. moving pieces on the board for that, for the space needs.
How does Blue Cross play into that?
And that's an, well, obviously they are coming from our 711 North Liberty Street building. So that's an off-site location that was done years ago to account for not having space in the PMB. When I started in JSO 27 years ago, our narcotics unit, for example, was housed at the PMB, but we outgrew that. So they actually took over the space there at 711 North Liberty, and now that building has become untenable, so that's why they're moving to the floor.
It's not a solution to any of your space needs.
No, sir. No, sir.
That is just moving people outside the building to another place outside the building.
Exactly right.
I got you. Okay.
And that's an interesting conversation. I'm going to get off on it, but the tangent, but the idea of what we've done with Riverside, with that group there, taking a look at that as we go forward is some options. Yeah. But I'm sorry.
That's right. And to your question about, you know, space, you know, we even in this last year had a 2,800 square foot file room space that we moved all of our files offsite and then rebuilt that space into offices that we're now moving into. And our property room was at the Police Memorial Building. Again, many operations have been farmed out offsite to create more space within the building already.
Definitely workarounds.
Yeah, and another more recent example is the offender tracking unit. They're housed now at the Regency Mall. That function would normally be within the PMB, but there is no space. So there's multiple examples of where we've had to move things offsite because there just is no more room within there.
Which creates additional costs that are extraordinary to and unnecessarily if you had the wherewithal to house them internally.
So, yeah. So the next list we have here is major upgrades. Many of the items that you see on our outline is just reiterated here on this spreadsheet mm-hmm. of what's going on there. These are items that need to be addressed, many of them sooner rather than later. Others at the bottom of that list, there's a priority was given to this list when it was created in 2017, priority A1 versus C13, and you can see how they carry down the line to at the bottom being an upgrade of a VCT flooring in the back hallway of a building that's not really important. And it may not be something that's going to live up to what needs to get done now.
Right.
That'll be something that gets tabled and moved on. But the other items become very critical. The next list is kind of a rehash of that. But this is off of another document we've used before for moving forward with these projects. Some of those items, like installing the emergency electrical panel to building generator transfer switch,
mm-hmm.
that one actually should have been deleted off this list. It was completed
okay.
when the new generator was installed this last year. So we'll have to clean that list up a little bit moving forward. The next document is monthly we get a list of the open work orders we've given to the city of Jacksonville. And this is what was open as of 9/2023. Some of those do age back pretty far. As early as February of 22, that was replacing the UV bulbs in the air handlers, which was installed a few years before that for COVID and other transmissible items like the flu that kills all of those bacteria in the air handlers. That's still been out there. Some lighting at the front of the building has been worked on but not completed because of some challenges to get that done. There's fire protection. The fire extinguishers get inspected once a year, and public buildings gained a new vendor this last year. They moved away from one to another, so getting it back in the rotation has been a challenge for them to get all these buildings done. So I don't want to hammer them too much on some of these older ones because they're working on it, but it's been difficult for them to get some of these accomplished.
But all these items on this here are in process. The funding's in been identified for them. Is that a fair?
I would say yes. All of these okay. are within funding.
So
and within
it's
reach.
Just a matter of getting them in the queue and to get them done.
Yes.
Okay. But the items on page, the first two spreadsheet, first two pages are the ones that we are not budgeted presently. Or
most of them. Air handlers are budgeted.
Okay. We mentioned yes. Besides the air handlers and a couple other
yes.
small
ones.
And
item on the PMB major upgrades list, item number 15, install fencing around the east parking lot there, yeah. that we have that.
Okay.
That's in process.
And that is being funded through JSO. directly.
Got it. All right. Well, I think you've got, you know what your marching orders at this point, Tim, are. I wouldn't, you know, maybe meeting number three, which is 4 weeks out, if we can go back with a quantified list that you feel comfortable with. And Roy, if you want to get in the mix with your office too, to see if you jive with what they're looking for to have addressed in the short term, and then come back to us with that list and a number, and then we'll see what we can do about moving it forward through the budget process.
Yeah, we'll have to get with Jeremy and talk with some of his vendors about getting us some sure. budget numbers
sure.
for these items. We wouldn't have time to get true numbers, but budget numbers
yeah,
for those.
You know, ballpark scenario that we can look at, because then you got to go through their procurement process.
RFPs and all those things, that's right.
Councilman President Salem, you good with that?
Yes.
All right.
Hopefully sit down with the administration.
Correct.
And come up with a plan to try to do what we need to do, trying to estimate when hopefully we would have another building. I don't think any of us want to do a lot of stuff that we don't need to do. So we really need to prioritize this and make sure that this is stuff that, and I think the 5 years is a good number.
I know the appetite for addressing a new facility is not there with the administration. I can't imagine why they wouldn't support working with us and trying to address some of the more media concerns.
Well, hopefully we can develop
together.
That appetite.
Do it together. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Do you want to go through the pictures? Is there anything there that we compelling that we need to see?
No, I tried to... at least provide a caption for each picture.
Yes.
So at your leisure, you can go through and see what we're trying to address with the landscaping. Or,
yeah.
like you said, if you look at the helicopter roof pad with the trees growing out of the drains,
wow.
those kind of things. So, and the flooring speaks for itself in the way of the carpet and how aged it is, the tiles that are broken. The one picture that really kind of maybe is the cherry on top is the one that shows the yellow cones and orange cones
yes.
down the main hallway. It kind of incorporates an entire picture of what's going on there with the tile that's broken, the skylights that were leaking,
yep.
And things like that. It's a kind of our summary picture.
Mold, is that it's not as prevalent in this building, I assume, as it is in the detention center, right?
No, sir. We do have mold from time to time, and it is addressed quickly.
Now, I know we kind of scoff a little bit at the priority of landscaping, but, you know, Bay Street, in many respects, is our main street for a lot of people. And to come down that street and see that in the condition that it's in.
Certainly. And there's a few pictures you can see of the palm trees and the flower beds.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
Just from aesthetics aside, obviously some of it's a safety hazard
sure.
with these stumps that are sticking up out of the ground, that kind of thing.
And then one of the items on the list is to refresh both the freight elevator and public elevator to make it look nicer. We redid the public elevator a year and a half ago to give it a little more fresher look, new flooring, new paint, new ceiling, under our budget as well.
Yeah, I'll finish up by saying the items on this list are certainly not luxurious.
No.
I think we have an obligation to provide an environment for our employees that is at a minimum safe and comfortable. And a lot of these items are to address those safety and minimal comfort. We talked a little bit about the air conditioning. We have employees on one end of the building that literally bring blankets to work because we can't stop the air conditioner from blowing so cold it gets to like 62 degrees.
Right.
And then employees on the other end of the building who are constantly calling and complaining that they're sweating in their office. Those standard comfort items would be nice to be able to at least address.
I think, Council President Salem, the unexpected charge in this process, neither I or anyone anticipated addressing these issues as part of our process looking forward, but I hope you can appreciate the urgency of it and the rationale for it, not only for this facility, but even more so for the detention center as well, which I know I attended Council Member White's meeting, and I think he's going to be on it pretty quick, because I understand his working group toured the facility the other day. Were you part of? Is anyone part of that tour trip?
I know we did it Wednesday.
Yeah, he did it Wednesday. I understood.
They're doing a similar analysis on the jail that you're doing on the police memorial building.
Correct, and theirs is a little deeper dive because it's a little more extreme, and I don't know. Well, knowing how he operates, I'll have it done next week, but he has time to get through it. But that the task is for him to have a comprehensive understanding of what those needs are by January when we get to our midterm point.
I have a question for Director Schmidt. You know, there's a war for talent in all industries, and my guess is JSO is no different. And this police memorial building kind of acts as a recruiting tool, I would guess. That's how a lot of businesses operate. And have you seen the condition of this building act as a deterrent to getting talent that you need?
Yeah, I would not classify it as a recruiting tool.
Right. Yeah. Right.
There are very few windows in the building. You know, and you think of that day to day, that is one of the biggest challenges for our employees. They literally don't even know when it's raining outside or whether the sun is shining. There's no immediate fix for that, obviously. But when we talk about a working environment that people like to go to, and when we interview them and they take a walk through the building and show them where they'd be working, that is definitely a turnoff. And throw on top of that, as they're walking through, people are wrapped in blankets, and some people are sweating. That is not helping.
Yeah. So it goes beyond just the comfort of people who are working in the building and the functions that come out of that building, but also from a recruitment standpoint. I think
absolutely.
And on top of that, not only recruiting, but retention.
Right.
It's a factor in retention as well. So.
Anyone in the audience have any comments you want to offer or questions to ask? Bruce?
Yeah, I had three questions.
All right.
Either for the chiefs or for Director Smith.
So the first one was involving the parking across the street at the shipyards through October 24. So is the Sheriff's Office willing to share that parking with the USS Orlick Museum?
And that's not our decision, but we don't have an issue with
it. You don't have an issue. Okay, very good.
To me, the more people we have that are going through there,
yes, sir,
making sure other people who don't belong there aren't doing things they shouldn't be doing is a benefit for us. As long as we have the room, we've got no issue with that.
Very good. Then the second question I had was regarding landscaping. And I understand from speaking with Public Works last night at the meeting I was at your district, Michael, I understand that landscaping is basically Public Works bailiwick. And is there any way just to go to Public Works and ask them to prioritize or pull into their budget a priority for the landscaping at the police memorial building?
Roy, do you want to speak to that? It's all under the same roof, right?
Yeah, this will actually fall under the mowing and landscaping department.
Yeah, Dave McDaniel. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's all under Public Works. Well, you're under Public Works as well, correct? So it's all under the same roof. So, yes, it can be.
Very good. And then the third question I had, 8.5 years ago when I did the ride-along, the car was near empty. We went down in the basement and refueled. That pump was old then. Obviously, it's either been replaced or it's a lot older now. So is it under some kind of maintenance contract where they maintain it regularly, or is it something that perhaps should be added to the list as a
priority? We did talk about the pumps last time. Are the pumps on the list?
Yeah, Fleet maintains those. City Fleet maintains those. Fleet. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you did mention last time that some of the pumps weren't needed to be upgraded or repaired.
Yeah, some of the pumps need to be upgraded up under the building. Yes.
So perhaps
that's not on the list right now.
Mm-hmm.
No, we have not added that because it is
added,
under Fleet.
Extraneous to the
our generator that. That line that we have to get.
There is a probe that tells us how much fuel is in the in-ground tank for the generator. Has not worked for quite some time. They have been working on it. There's, as of recently, a contractor out there, and hopefully they'll identify the issue here soon and we can know how much fuel we have.
You got it. All right. Thanks, Bruce.
So maybe that's something to ask City Fleet about then. Thank you so much.
Anyone else, any thoughts, comments? OCI, HGR? whatever you can do to be assistance in this process. I hope this is helpful for you to be here to hear this part of it in terms of the conversation. Council President, go ahead. Indoor air quality
test. There was one done just post the Berkman 2 Plaza implosion.
Right.
So we did get one done.
And that was, what, a year, year and a half ago?
About a year, a little over a year ago, yes.
Yeah. We talked about there's some modest mold issues, but manageable at this point. Council President Salem.
Was the police memorial building built for that purpose, or was it used for something else?
Reading through some of the information that we have on the building, it was built specifically for the police memorial building.
Okay.
The design was more in line with the museum. Indirect lighting, not many windows, like you were displaying art. Not sure why they went with that sort of design, but it was specifically built for the PMB. It was commissioned as a police memorial building.
And it was built in 78?
It opened in 78.
Yes.
So we're 45 years. Okay. Thank you.
And facilities these days are being designed around the style of policing of intended use. And so I'm guessing the style of policing has changed significantly since when it was last built. Yeah. But that's something to consider in the future, you know, should a new building be.
Certainly. And talking about new building, you know, I know that's another conversation, but just the idea that we've talked about moving these different operations off-site, and we have, you know, our international crimes, internet crimes against children that's off-site, our investigations that's off-site, property is off-site, our gun crime lab is off-site, those type of things deters our operations
right.
to work effectively in law enforcement, because they aren't going to interact as well and as easily. And, you know, there is cost to it, but there's also real costs of, you know, communication and things like that that get lost because we're working remotely from each other. You know, I know that's a remote world out there. Everybody wants to work from home, but it's like we're working from home because we're in different locations and the communication just doesn't happen like it should.
And to further that point and your point, the policing 40 years ago has changed a lot now. And one of the main driving forces of that is technology. The amount of units within the sheriff's office now, technology-driven compared to 40 years ago. 40 years ago, we had a communication center basically with a two-way radio and an antenna. That was about the extent of the technology. And now a lot of our units are technology-driven. So we're housing more civilians that are supporting the operations of the actual police work. So,
well, this is a great segue to where we're headed next in the conversation, and I want to reiterate the second charge, if you will, of this committee is recommendations regarding a city facility that addresses the needs of the sheriff and his staff in the management and execution of the many and varied responsibilities. And so our next meeting is really to focus on what we call the priority list for the new facility, and I think the sheet, Director Schmidt, you gave us gives us a good start in that process. It gives us a sense of what the existing picture is. But to your point, Ryan and others, what should it look like tomorrow? It isn't just it, you know, the changing policing practices, policies, culture, etc., is going to be impacting all that. And there'll be another 45 years. I won't be around for it, perhaps, but when we do this again. So we really need to be very thoughtful as we take a look at what's next. So let me put this in the form of question, because I don't know the answer. How do we approach this at the next meeting? What are your thoughts as to how do we create that priority list of how we address this? And Ryan, maybe you've got a handle on this. I don't. To understand how do we take this next meeting and get some meaningful output from it that says to us, this is our vision for the future as a facility.
I think having a planner or designer who has designed some of these facilities recently and can provide some feedback to this group relative to what they're seeing as far as design in these type of buildings would be helpful. You know, understanding how much community input you want within the facility itself. I think about the Gainesville Police Department headquarters, and in front of the secure space is a conference room. It's a meeting space, and it's flexible. It's not just for the Gainesville police functions, but there are community events and things that don't relate to the department.
And I think, as I thought through this a little bit, meetings 3 and 4 were an opportunity to take a look at best practices. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we should see those. I don't want to move them up if the pressure of moving them up is hard to do. To say, would we rather see those first, so you guys have a better idea? Well, you know what? That's a good idea. Maybe that's something, because if we can come in here and say, hey, this is our square footage now, this is what we anticipate we need in terms of offices, blah, 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 that kind of thing. But maybe we'd rather take a look at what's happening in others and the good work that they've done to get to where they are. Does it make sense to try
yes.
and flip
so,
off them? Go ahead.
Yes. So Chief Dingy and I have visited some other agencies when we went to a course up in Chicago. We are also slated to go to some other agencies here in the state of Florida. But our next move as well is to get the vision of the sheriff, you know, as well as what is it that he sees that he wants in this new facility, as well as other staff members, what we need, what built around our philosophy, built around what the community needs are as well, because in those 45 years, of course, police and community have come together even more. So it's not just our building, it's really their building as well. So those are some of the things we want to bring to the next meeting, and then we can mold that with the planning and designing as well, because now you have an idea of what we're looking at, of what we are looking for the future.
Okay, and I was very purposeful in not setting periodic meeting dates for the very reason to say, I think everyone, as we talk about the next meeting and knowing that the meetings thereafter, Brian and HDR and others can say, this is what we've been doing out there in the system based upon what you've shared with us. So the next meeting then, we will then focus on perhaps what the current structure is, but the vision for the future in terms of how you want to see the administrative building operate, and whether it is, do we want to bring some of those operations that are remote now into the facility as part of that conversation. So when is a good time in terms of your schedule? Can we do that in 2 weeks? Do you need 3 weeks? What works for you?
I think 3 would probably be better. We could maybe squeeze it in 2, but I think 3 would be better.
Okay.
Three is way better for me.
Yeah, three is better for everybody. Yes.
Ask a question?
Yeah, definitely for you.
It just would seem to me, and I'm like you, that I'm really out of my realm as a healthcare guy trying to vision this, but if I were, it would seem to me we ought to try to identify police departments, sheriff's offices of similar size.
Right.
Now, when I understanding Jacksonville's consolidated, we got a lot of space, but those that have similar police officers and administrative staff, who has built a facility recently?
Let me finish. Yes, sir.
What does it look like? What are they happy with? If they could do it over again, how would they change it? And should that be the basis of kind of where we start? And that's what I would do as a novice in this thing. Why reinvent the wheel if Indianapolis, Indiana, recently built one, and they're similar in size to your office?
Yeah, and that we fully expect HDR and the others to bring to the table those kind of facilities.
Okay.
Comparable in terms of population or staffing, et cetera.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense. So I'm looking, October the 20th is a Friday morning, but right now it looks like Councilmember Peluso's got this time blocked out. So how about Thursday the 19th? Take a look at your calendars and see. I don't see anything on the council calendar. Jeff, you take a peek real quick, but I don't see anything on the council calendar that would preclude us from meeting on the 19th. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah. TDC meeting, but I think
that's in the cross. Yeah. So yeah. We'll be meeting. We can schedule it for in here. So let's do that, and then we'll. Ryan, in terms of meetings 3 and 4, you probably want to start getting your head around as to how to set those up.
Already started. Yep.
Perfect. Okay. So let's talk just real quick in terms of what the deliverables of that meeting are. First, Director Schmidt, you'll come back with us. A complete overview of the current operations, the vision of what the sheriff has and other senior management have with respect to what they see in a new facility, and what remote facilities and our operations do we want to be, you know, is appropriate for us. Obviously, some of them, the ones on Riverside, are going to be out of house and stay out of house, but some of the others you want to be bringing back in-house, if you will.
I agree with that. One of the things that I was looking at was, I know that we're talking about this five-year window of what do we need.
Right.
But in the back of my mind, it sticks that discussion of replacing and rebuilding the Police Memorial Building has been on the table and off the table for several years. So we hesitate to say we need these four items, and then something happens and we don't get another building for another 10, 12 years. So we have to take into account what we really need for that further than 5 years out, because nothing's guaranteed at this point.
Quite well taken. Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, operational needs and things like that, one of the first things that really needs to be done, we've talked about a need study, but before that, there's a personnel study. And how many people do you house in the building? How many people do you need to house in the building? And what space do they need? We have 165,000 square feet of heated and cooled space. That's only about 119,000 usable spaces of hallways and corridors and storage.
Right.
And we need to do that study to determine, even with the people that are in the building now, is that really enough space already?
And answer that question in 3 weeks is going to be a challenge. But I think we've got to start someplace in the context of what that could be. What is the capacity? And Sonia, I hope you're taking notes as to these agenda items for me, because I'm not catching them. Jeff, you got him? Okay. And also, we also want to get a report back from you on this list, correct, as part of that agenda?
Yeah, to prioritize the list of what we feel we need.
And some kind of ballpark numbers.
Budget numbers for those.
Yes.
I have, you know, obviously an overview of the current operations,
right,
the priority list of our repairs, the budget costs of those.
Correct.
And also the sheriff's vision of what he might want to see.
Perfect.
In a new facility.
Right.
And if I could add one more thing, Ryan, as you all start taking a look at this, this is in very general terms. What I've seen for most police departments who are building facilities recently, they go one of two ways. One is a complete consolidated model, right, where everything's almost like in a campus, kind of like a Florida Blue type campus that they have. Southside, obviously not that large, but where everything is in one area, you know, property room, all the all the various units and divisions all in one area, versus you have the main administrative headquarters and everything else is in other locations. Right. To me, they both have pluses and minuses, especially here in Florida. If we have everything on one campus and we get a direct hit from a hurricane, that's not going to be very good for that one campus. But there are positives as well. You know, more efficient. Everybody can communicate with each other better. You can literally walk across the sidewalk to meet with somebody else. But if you all have any sort of information or reflection on which one of those you see as historically, recently, been working better.
And that works for 3 and 4. But it does come into play in the context of this conversation for the next time.
Yeah.
If we built a campus facility, it would be different than we built an isolated administrative building facility. I think that's where the sheriff's vision is to say, come into place. Would he like to see that? And then if we move in that direction, and again, we're operating in a vacuum here to the sense that each of the working groups are going to doing their own kind of sense to that. And when we come together in January, we'll kind of hash out what does that look like. But I think we've got a sense of where we want to go to the next meeting.
Yes.
Everyone's comfortable with where we're headed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bruce, you've had your moment. You're good. Let's make it 9:30 again. We'll probably budget it, schedule it for 9 just for prep purposes, but let's plan on 9:30 on the
19th.
Is that so Ryan can be here on time then?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, Ben.
Main Street Bridge situation, for what it's worth.
You always blame the bridge.
I have to.
Yeah, I always do. Or the trains or the bridges.
Or the
trains. It's okay.
part of the
Thank challenge. You all again for your being here, and folks in the audience are certainly welcome to be part of the conversations. Because you're sitting there doesn't mean you can't be engaged in this conversation, because the more voices we have, more thoughts we have, I think the better the outcome of this working group. So with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you, sir.